ഗോവിന്ദ ദേശികം ഉപാസ്യ സ്ഥിരായ ഭക്ത്യാം തസ്മിൻ സ്ഥിതേ നിജമാഹിംനി വിദേഹമുക്ത്യാം അദ്വൈത്യഭാഷ്യം ഉപകൽപ്പ ദിശോ വിജീഥ്യാം കാഞ്ചീപുരേ സ്ഥിതം അവാപഥാ ശങ്കരായ ഋതിസ്മൃതി പുരാണാനാം ആലയം കരുണാലയം നമാമി ഭഗവത്പാദ ശങ്കരം ലോകശങ്കരം അപാര കരുണാസിന്ധും ജ്ഞാനതം ശാന്തരൂപിണം ശ്രീചന്ദ്രശേഖര ഗുരും പ്രണമാമി മുതാമ്യഹം സദാശിവസമാരംഭാം ശങ്കരാചാര്യ മധ്യമാം അസ്മത് ആചാര്യപര്യന്താം വന്ദേ ഗുരുപരംപരാം. സീക്കിംഗ് ദ ബെനഡിക്ഷൻ ഓഫ് ആദി ശങ്കരാചാര്യ ആൻഡ് ടു ഹിസ് ലിനിയേജ് ഓഫ് ദ ശങ്കര പരമ്പര അപ് ടു ദ 70th പോണ്ടിഫ് ഓഫ് ദ വെനറേറ്റഡ് കാമകോട്ടി പീഠം ഐ റേസ് ടു അഡ്രസ് യു ടുഡേ. ഇറ്റ് ഗീവ്സ് മീ ഗ്രേറ്റ് പ്ലഷർ ടു വെൽക്കം യു ആൾ ടു ദിസ് പ്ലസന്റ് ആൻഡ് സോളം ഫംഗ്ഷൻ ഓർഗനൈസ്ഡ് ദിസ് ഈവനിംഗ് ടു കൺഫർ ദ 19th SIS ശ്രീ ചന്ദ്രശേഖരേന്ദ്ര സരസ്വതി നാഷണൽ എമിനൻസ് അവാർഡ് ടു 3 ഡിസ്റ്റിംഗ്വിഷ്ഡ് ചിൽഡ്രൻ ഓഫ് മദർ ഇന്ത്യ ആൻഡ് 1 പേഴ്സൺ who by his conduct, action and work is far more Indian than most Indians are. Each one of them hail from a distinct segment of the society and in the aggregate they represent the full canvas of life. In a sense, therefore, this award is celebration of life itself. This award is named after the 68th Shankaracharya of the Kamakoti Peetham, Pujya Sri Chandrasekharendra Saraswati Swamiji. An occasion like this is one of mirth, joy and glee, and of nostalgia down the memory lane, as to how an ordinary young Vaisala Kannadiga Brahmin community boy was converted, graduated into a saint extraordinary who tread this earth in the 20th century. The sage of Kanchi walked the length and breadth of the country, spreading goodwill and compassion all around. This master of masters was like a lambent light who rekindled the spirit of the nation and brought about a renaissance in many fields of religion, thought and process. He taught mankind groping in the dark as to how to journey to a higher destiny despite all the strides in science and technology. It is very difficult to erase from our minds that frail human form, saffron clad as it were, raising its hand in benediction for the good of humanity. He shed his mortal coil at the age of 100 on the 8th of January 1994. We still hear the divinity of his voice and the infinitude of his presence. The sage of Kanchi lives in the hearts and minds of the devotees. In its own unobtrusive way, the Kamakoti Peetham symbolizes the spirit of Hinduism, more tolerant, dietetic and philosophical. With his aura, credibility and authority gained over 87 years of pontificate of this Peetham, the sage of Kanchi was the center stage of the cultural renaissance of this country. From this very Vyasapitha, I have, over the last 18 occasions, spoke about the greatness of the sage, bringing each time before you at least one facet of his personality, distinct as it were, that made him great. Today, I seek a departure from the convention. Having said so much about him, he is abundance of virtue, he is a reservoir of virtue, Akshaya Patra, and one life is inadequate to describe in totality the greatness of the sage of Kanchi. I would therefore venture this time to get into the essence of his thought and translate it to the contemporary issues on hand before us and see how well the benign blessings of the sage of Kanchi would have been a panacea for most of the ills that afflict our society. These are trying times for our nation. The nation itself is at crossroads in relation to several of its issues. Freedom that has been obtained with great struggle do not hold promise for most generation of ours because we have not experienced them. Fisiparist tendencies have gained a currency. Divisive elements have rooted the moral fabric of the society. There has never been a greater time than now where distinction of people have been made on the basis of caste, creed, community and wealth, as sharp as it is today. The spirit of the nation is under test. It is in these times, I remember what Swami Vivekananda said. There have been periods of decay and destruction for every nation. I do not attach any importance to them. These are necessary in the evolution, the history of every nation. The large tree, mighty as it were, bears a luscious fruit. This fruit ripens with time. Falls on the ground rots there, decays there, and out of this rotten and decayed state comes, springs the root, and from the root comes a tree, could be stronger and mightier than the old tree itself. The future of this country is emanating from this degree of despondency that we are facing today. I am already able to see that the leaves are sprouting, and a mighty country, far better than what it was in the ages, is appearing before us. India of the ages is not dead. She has not given her final word. She has to live not only for herself, but also for the good of humanity, said Aurobindo. It is not that in various occasions, in the passage of time, in the history of this country, we have faced a crisis like this. But each time the country has come out from these crises stronger than before. If singularly there is one factor that has contributed to this strength, this resilience in this country, it is the dharma of this country. It is the righteousness of this country. The one that binds people together. This dharma is not only for Indians. It is universal. It is for all castes, creed, communities, beyond geographies, beyond territories, for all people together. It is the dharma which codifies human behavior and the moral standards in our dealings with people. The sage of Kanchi, during his century-long sojourn in this universe, not only walked the length and breadth of the country radiating blessings all around, like the lighthouse that beats no drum and sounds no gong, yet to the mariner in the distant sea experiences friendly light, so too was the sage of Kanchi. His silence was far more than the eloquence that came from him. The sage had not left any subject on the earth that was not part of his discourse. When it came to economic management of the country, the sage used to draw generously from Vidura Niti and from Arthashastra of Kautilya. Sage Vidura was the advisor, the philosopher, the guide to King Dhritarashtra in Mahabharata's time. He codified the conduct of the king and the rules and the laws that will govern the management of the state. That came to be known as Vidura Niti. Many, many generations later, many millennia later, during the golden age of the Gupta Empire, the eyes and ears of Chandragupta Maurya was Vishnugupta, Chanakya, or Kautilya, as he was being called. Chanakya formulated the code, defined the code of relationship between the state, between the subjects, and the rulers. And what is today called as a magnum opus, Arthashastra, defines not just the behavior of the king and the subjects, not that the fiscal matters of the state, it travels much beyond that, the security of the state, its relationship with people, all put together, like an independent democratic country would have at this point of time. Chanakya never gave primacy to people in the formulation of making laws. Chanakya believed that it is the sovereign right of the ruler to make the laws and it's for the people to follow. But laws could not have been made as it is. It was based on four aspects the laws of the country are being made. The first is, of course, dharma. Dharma in this context does not mean righteousness, but it is truth. Second is vyavahara, which is based on witnesses, evidential value that we take in jurisprudence. The third is based on nyaya that comes with justice in the society. The last is rajashasana, which is the edict of the king, the promulgation or the law as it is. Why is it that I am traveling through all these things today? Because I want this, which the sage of Kanchi used to extensively address in his various discourses, to the issues on hand today. We are very eager to monetize all our assets, be it inherited, earned, acquired, lawfully or unlawfully. That's a natural tendency in human beings to monetize everything. When a step like demonetization is being taken, we use all the forces in our command, mobilize all people together to put paid to this legislation when it comes, because it creates inconvenience for us in the short run. Enough has been said about demonetization, which came into being on the 8th of November last year, the political side of it, the political compulsions that have gone into it, the economic factors that have been necessary for this. But have you ever heard that every law can also be tested against the scripture of this land of ours. That's what I propose doing. And if the sage of Kanchi were to be there, he would have done the same thing. In the evolution of the laws of the country, as I said about these four, primacy was always given to Dharma. If any legislation were to be received through Dharma and it passes the test of good conduct, righteousness and truth, it was upheld by the king at all points of time. If ever there is conflict with the other three, in the order in which I had said, they were again filtered through Dharma and then they were codified as laws of the country. Chanakya concluded his Arthashastra by saying, Prajasuke sukam rajyaha, prajanam tu hitam hitam, na atma priyam hitam rajyaha, prajanam tu priye hitam. He said there are four filters for any legislation. Prajasukam, prajahitam, na atma priyam, prajapriyam. Let me take the last one. Prajapriyam. Do the people love what is being enacted? I think I don't have to say anything on demonetization. The entire country is in favor of the steps that have been taken. It is not that this demonetization of high-value currency is a panacea for all the ills. It could even be a tip of the iceberg, and there is much more that needs to be done. Why is it that the entire country has marshaled behind the government in accepting, regardless of political affiliations, except those people in the parliament and elsewhere, of whom I don't want to speak? It is basically because for 69 long years, hope against hope, people have been praying that the governments that they have elected will take any step forward that will combat terrorism, that will combat corruption in public life, that will put paid to black monies. Therefore, even if an infinitesimal step is being taken, however significant it be, that step is rejoiced and welcomed by people because some action is always better than inaction. Can anyone deny the objective that the government of the day has rolled over during the period starting from the 8th of November till today? Will they not bring welfare to the people of this country? And if ultimately, if it were to result in the macro management of the economy better and there is further growth rate in the GDP, it will pass the test, the canon of welfare of the people and the good of the people. So these four parameters of the scripture that the sage of Kanchi always used to address, this demonetization fits in very well. For a moment pause, can we ever reverse this decision? The economic damage that would be done to this country would be far more than it can never recover if it were to reverse this trend. So the inevitable is to accept it. Pain is momentary. There is no gain without pain. If people can endure 50 days, why 50 days? Much, much more than that. Because the gains that are going to flow, if the intention with which it has been enacted is implemented, I'm sure this will be a turning point in the history of this country. And if the sage of Kanchi were to be alive, and if we were to have discoursed on Vithura Niti and Arthashastra, he would have endorsed it with both the hands and said, this is the panacea for some of the hills of this country. Despite this commotion, confusion that has been created across the country, there are still some stars which are shining in the galaxy. These jewels are dazzling. These are the people who have stamped infinity on the thought and process of the nation and added to the reservoir of goodness of this blessed land of ours. They are the people, they have imputed life into living itself. It is for them that the rishis of the yore have spoken of 100 years for them. Today we are extremely fortunate that four such stars are adorning the stage today. This is not an award that you give for a performance. This is indeed one that carries the blessings of that great sage and of the seers of the times, which are representative of the sainthood that he carried, that goes along for these people to take it to greater heights. We are extremely delighted that this year the first blessings goes to the Chief Minister of Maharashtra. Shri Devendra Fadnavis was one of the youngest chief ministers of the state, occupying the mantle of leadership at the age of 44. There is some good correct that we have with him. He studied in the SISI school, Saraswati Vidyalaya at Nagpur, with which we have fraternal affiliation for a long time. That's a 107-year-old institution. We are 85-year-old institution. It was my privilege and blessings, at least I think 14 or 15 years before, when I went there and inaugurated the Mahaswami Auditorium in that very school. I had gone again to that school when they celebrated the centenary of the headmaster and presided over that function. Small wonder, in such an upbringing in a school when the learning process took place, that he has peaked so early in his life. In the 2 years that he has been in office, he has redefined governance, politics and economics. The risk-taking ability that he has taken, coupled with probity, honesty, transparency, has seen macro infrastructural projects that are about to see the light of the day. In a few days from now, the Prime Minister will come and unfold several more programs of this state. The dream of the Chief Minister is to make this a Maharashtra. With age behind him, I'm sure he will go places. And with the blessings that is given unto him today, and countless number of others who are present here and several elsewhere, whose blessings will always accrue and endure for him, I'm sure one day he will occupy the topmost position in this country. No less than the present Prime Minister, with his detached attachment to his office and the commitment he has to rewrite the history of this nation, I only pray that all of us, the younger ones, the older ones, all live to see that day. Our blessings are there with him, and our prayers are eternal that he shall one day meet this aspiration of most of us. The most respected scientific institution in the country and elsewhere in the globe is Indian Space Research Organization. Successful leaders of ISRO have redefined space research. It is not that the elite members of the space club in the developed countries do anything different from what we do here. But the speed with which most of the missions are being implemented, whether it is the launch vehicles that we have, the moon mission, that is the lunar mission, or the Mars mission that's being seen, they are done at a fraction of the cost at which developed countries are doing it. We were all amazed when they were doing it at a fraction of the cost. But then a time came when the cost at which these projects have been done by ISRO are even lower than the budgetary support provided by the Government of India. And in most of the completed projects, they have returned monies back to the Government of India. And in the last 2 years, ISRO has been peaking, as Gayatri said. And who better than Dr. Kiran Kumar to be with us to receive this award and honor from us. Harikatha, Sangeeta Harikatha, thy name is Kamalamurthy. For 55 long years, All India Radio's listeners in south of India, Maharashtra, in parts of Singapore, Malaysia, Penang, Thailand, had only one voice to listen to. That was Kamalamurthy. And this parampara that comes from Tanjavur is what our state has, the Maharashtrian parampara, the Peshwa parampara. And she carries that with great aplomb and dignity. I wish she was younger, that she would have done a performance in Marathi over here. But that's the greatness of the lady, that she has come all the way despite that age to be with us today. Dr. John Marr, who would not have loved if that non-Nigerian was to be with us today? But then he was very careful to say, if you want me to live longer, which is part of the blessings that are there, do not make me travel. Let my son come and take it. As a protocol, we never allow an award to be given to an absentia, except in the case of foreign awards. We are indeed delighted that Dr. James Marr has come all the way from London only to keep this engagement and return. Can you believe a Londoner who is an authority in Tamil, as she said, doctorate was in Sangam literature, in Telugu, in Sanskrit, and on the most proficient teachers of Carnatic music. And he and his wife Wendy Marr, for the last 35 years, has been teaching Carnatic music in London to countless number of people, including Indians. This is the greatness of the person whom we are honoring who is taking it forward. As I come to the end of my address this evening, may the sage of Kanchi shed his grace on all these people. Not only that, may the sage bless so that all the positive forces of the earth converge onto this blessed land of ours, and this land immediately claims its rightful place amongst the committee of nations. May those blessings inure enough of happiness for us so that there is sweetness, enough of sorrows for us so that there is strength in us, enough of disappointments for us so that we are humble, enough of hope for the morrow so that we are happy again. May this age also give us that keyboard that our young children are there. Let him give the keyboard of our life so that that anger that comes to us naturally when we look at things which we despise or hate, let there be a mute button that puts paid to that anger. When the unintentional mistakes that we do and then regret the rest of our life, let there be a back button. Those horrid times that come to us during our life journey, let there be a fast forward button so that it goes away fast. Those glorious times that the spring of life that comes to people at several points of time, let there be a pause button so that it lingers for long and you enjoy life. May the good Lord shed his grace on all of us so that we too can partner all these people in the journey to take this country to greatness. Thank you.